You are Locked On Warriors, your daily Golden State Warriors podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, welcome to Locked On Warriors, your daily podcast on all things Warriors, posting episodes every day, Monday through Friday. I'm Wes Goldberg, Warriors beat writer for the Bay Area News Group, here with Dieter Kurtenbach, my colleague over at the Bay Area News Group, esteemed sports columnist, radio host, know-it-all everything in Bay Area sports. Dieter, thanks for joining me, man.
I think just know-it-all would have sufficed. I'm not sure if esteemed or a colleague or anything like that really plays in, but I appreciate you having me, Wes.
Well, thanks for joining me. I think today is going to be a fun episode. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to basically do another NBA mock draft, a new type of concept. I'm sure you haven't come across any of these.
No one has ever done this before.
But what's going to be a little bit, I don't know, different about ours is instead of us kind of going NFL fantasy draft style 1 to 14, that's what we're going to do. We're only going to do the lottery. I have no interest as a Locked On Warriors host to going past 14. We're going to do 1 through 14, but we're going to try to come to a consensus on each pick instead of kind of going snake style on this thing. So, and we're going to break this up, I think, into two parts. We're going to do 1 through 7 in the first episode, and then we'll do 8 to 14 in the next episode. So the Warriors will pick once per episode. And that's what we're going to do here. So
fantastic, man. Yeah. Looking forward to it.
So the Detroit Pistons, let's just jump right into it. Pistons are on the clock at number one. There's been some conversation about them really liking Jalen Green. I know Chad Ford, who hosts Chad Ford's NBA Big Board, also on the Locked On Podcast Network, been doing killer work over there if you haven't checked that out, talking about how Detroit recently held a workout with Jalen Green that knocked their socks off, essentially, and has some in that front office thinking about maybe trading back. I don't think they would take Jalen Green at number one, but they haven't come out and said that they're taking Cunningham at number one. So there, I guess the possibility exists. But maybe Detroit could go backwards. And I think, honestly, Dieter, that the Pistons should consider it, because I think Cade Cunningham is the best player in this draft, but I don't think it's as much of a wide margin as people are saying. And if they really like Jalen Green, I think they should trust their scouting. And if they can move back sort of like what the Celtics did moving back when they everybody kind of penciled them in for Markelle Fultz and moved back and got Jason Tatum. I don't think that they thought Markelle Fultz would be terrible and be a bust. But I thought that the Celtics probably thought, hey, you know what? The margin probably isn't as wide as people are making it out to be. And if we can move back and grab another first round pick, then maybe we should just do that. If that option is there for the Pistons, I think that they should. And all reports are, it sounds like Houston wants to move up to number one. Right. So if you're the Pistons and you can move back one pick and get another first rounder, why wouldn't you do that? Right.
I think that there's a lot of logic to that. It sounds to me like the Green workout, though, is just pushing Houston to improve their offer for number one, because Houston's hot and bothered and wants Cade Cunningham in a real serious way. Don't get me wrong, they like Jalen Green. They'll take Jalen Green if he's there at number two, but they need to restart that franchise in so many ways, right? It's beyond just getting good players, drafting early, all that stuff. Like, they need to restart the entire aura of the Houston Rockets franchise, and they need to get somebody who can sell a ticket. And while Jalen Green might be able to do that, the number one pick, Cade Cunningham, there's just an easier ring to that. It's easier for the ticket department to sell on that.
He's already signed with Nike.
I know. It's one of these things where I don't think it's the most prudent thing for Houston to do, but Houston's not really into prudence. So I just think that it's Detroit pushing Houston to up their offer. I think Houston would be foolhardy to do so, considering how much they need. And again,
that's a good point.
The same reason that, you know, Detroit would consider moving down is the same reason why Houston shouldn't consider moving up. But I just think that this is just hardball between, you know, two front offices who kind of have their sights pointed in the same direction. So I ultimately think Detroit does draft at number one, and I ultimately think it will be Cunningham. And while all the things that Detroit's saying might be true, and you know, the front office thinking, hey, we might actually have a competition here, there's still one clear-cut number one player in the draft. And honestly, the only guy that I would consider outside of Cade Cunningham for number one overall would be Evan Mobley. He's a center. There's your tiebreaker. It's got to be Cunningham, number one.
I agree with you. I think that that's absolutely the guy who should go number one. And I agree that Houston probably shouldn't move up to number one, because also Jalen Green is the kind of exciting, athletic, high flyer, play over the rim. Like, if you're Houston and you're trying to sell tickets after James Harden left town, like, Jalen Green is a good guy.
There's nothing wrong with
him. He's easily marketable. He's got weird hair. Like, you know, people love that kind of stuff.
I mean, what is Jalen Green providing the Houston Rockets that Kevin Porter isn't?
Upside, work ethic, good personality.
Okay. I don't want to drag Kevin Porter too much, but Kevin Porter was awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome at the end of the year, and was putting up baskets in bunches. And you're right, the dude was, you know, picked up off of from Cleveland after a year. Like, I'm not arguing that there aren't questions with him and that he's not a franchise cornerstone or anything, but the Rockets need more than one dude. And whether it's Cunningham or Green or Mobley or whomever, if you're looking at just sort of the roster you have now, I know that Kevin Porter can give you 25 and 20 a night, given his age. Jalen Green kind of strikes me as you put it, a more reliable professional version of a Kevin Porter. But when you're at the stage that the Rockets are at, redundancies seem a bit ridiculous, especially when there's so much talent. And the same goes with Cunningham. You know, like, if they really want Cunningham, like, that's great, I get it. But do you want to give up multiple first round picks? Because those are going to be very valuable first round picks, given the way that this is all going.
Yeah. And the Rockets have no players that are like bona fide guys who you're building around, right? Like, you've got nice pieces. Like, Kevin Porter Jr. is a nice piece. Christian Wood is a nice piece. But I don't think those guys aren't untouchable either, right? And so I agree with you, by the way. Mobley, I don't know why he's not being talked about more here. Number two, I wonder if Houston is maybe trying to overcompensate for the whole James Harden left town, we need another lead guard kind of thing.
Yeah.
We need somebody exciting. A center doesn't really get people excited. I could totally see that being the case, by the way, with the Rockets. I'm not saying that Jalen Green isn't a worth, like, Jalen Green in any draft would go number one other than this draft. You know, there's few drafts where Jalen Green wouldn't go number one. But I think Evan Mobley, like, if the Rockets thought, and it looks like they think Jalen Green's the better player, if the Rockets thought that Evan Mobley was the better player, I still think that you take him. I think when you're drafting this high, fit shouldn't matter, right? Just go get the best player, because you don't really have a guy you're building around just yet. So you go get the best guy.
Listen, we'll get into this range here pretty soon, but there are a couple of teams, 3, 4, 5, five being Orlando, who also has the 8 pick, who are hot and bothered by another prospect in this draft. And the Rockets might want to look up, but they should probably be looking down and trying to accrue. Like, would you rather be the Rockets at number 2, or would you rather be the Orlando Magic at 5 and 8? Well, the Magic are closer. But if in this draft, given kind of how flat it is, where there are 7, 8 guys, depending on how loose you want to be, who are kind of all in the same ballpark, with Cunningham being at the top and maybe the bottom cutoff being a Kuminga, I would rather get 2 bites of the apple with Orlando and with Orlando's 5 and 8 spots than kind of being in Houston's spot. Plus, they have Christian Wood, who they can move anywhere, right, and get additional value. Like, Houston's in a really good position to reboot this thing even more so than they have. They kind of keep taking steps back as to then start sprinting forward, instead of kind of this one step forward, two steps forward system that they got going on. I wouldn't be stunned. But how about this? I don't actually think it will happen, but I do think it would be most prudent for them to be looking to move back. Let somebody who's really into Scotty Barnes, let somebody who never thought that Jalen Green might have been available to him, let somebody who's really into Evan Mobley. There are a lot of guys that a lot of teams want, Jalen Suggs. Let them move up. Let them jump over everybody, and you accrue more assets for later, because there's nothing that Houston can do in this draft, and honestly, even in next year's draft too, that's going to put them back in contention in a Western Conference that's damn good. So I love
that idea, and I think Houston, if they can move back to 4, and be in position to take Jalen Suggs and then get more assets like you're talking about, that would be a home run for them. I actually had one league executive say, if I were the Rockets, I would take Jalen Suggs.
I love that
twice, right?
I think we've talked about that before. Like, he just brings a professionalism and it's just a good guy to build around. He might not be your perennial all-star USA Olympic team or anything like that. But you're never going to have to worry about him being a really good player every single night and a borderline all-star perhaps down the line, and maybe even gets into the game a couple of times if the team is good.
If Toronto wants to move up from four, because they're not going to get Evan Mobley sitting at four, and maybe, and look, I don't know.
Maybe they do, Toronto, maybe they don't.
But maybe they love Mobley. And if they want to guarantee themselves a chance at Mobley, maybe moving up from four to two makes a little bit of sense. Like, well, I don't.
Not just Mobley, but also Barnes. They just get to take control of their own destiny for a team that's in a weird in-between spot, right?
So Toronto could move up from, and I think what I think the cost would be the fourth pick and a future first rounder. Toronto owns all of their first round picks. So maybe we call it in. Let's get weird right off the bat.
Dieter. Let's do it.
Maybe Toronto moves up from four and a future first rounder up to number two. Maybe they take Evan Mobley.
I think that they might take Barnes. They would take at two? Mobley. Well, here's the thing.
At two, they would take Mobley.
What if we got even weirder? And forgive me for adding difficulty to an already complex situation. But what if they got Wood in that deal? And now they're sitting at two. They have Christian Wood. They've given up another draft, first round draft pick on top of that, or two. So they're down number four. They're down 2022. They're down 2024, let's say. And maybe there's a pick swap in 2023. And so now they're sitting there. They have a center in Christian Wood. He might not be the most versatile guy in the world, but he's a damn good player. And now your center position is somewhat figured out. And they love Scotty Barnes. They love him. Now you can do both of that. Now you can bring in a Suggs to play next to a Fred VanVleet, whose defensive issues are kind of well noted. I think they're in a really good spot. Who would you go with if you were Houston, if you were the Toronto Raptors, and you make that deal, you move to number two, but you get Christian Wood, a bona fide, solid top 10 NBA center or whatever. It doesn't even matter what he is. He's a really good player, could start for you immediately. Where do you go if your center position is figured out and you're the Toronto Raptors and you're sitting at number two?
I think I wouldn't make that trade only because I like Christian Wood, but if you think you can get Scotty Barnes there at number four, which it sounds like they're going to be able to, I don't think.
Yeah.
I think if Cleveland just takes, is that number, they just take Evan Mobley. So now you've got Barnes at four and you could just sort of take him. And you're not filling your need at center, but you're also not.
And also the entire conceit of this is that Jalen Green apparently just decides he doesn't want to get drafted because we're just kind of forgetting about him in the thing.
Okay. So number one's Cunningham. Two is Jalen Green to Houston. Three is Evan Mobley to Cavaliers. Do you have any like hot takes on Cleveland that you just have to get off?
No, I mean, it sounds like Cleveland's really interested in Barnes too, man. But
I think everybody's really interested in Barnes.
I think everyone's interested, but does anyone want to actually, invite him to prom? Whereas Evan Mobley, you're much more comfortable with
that. A good fit there with what like he could play next to Jared Allen. He could play next to Kevin Love if he's still there. He could play next to
Let's just call it what it is. They're trying to get off of Nance's contract. They're trying to get off of Seti Osman's contract.
Trying to get off of Kevin Love's contract too.
Well, that has happened for years, and I doubt it's going to happen until he's bought out. But what was my suggestion? Orlando moving up, Orlando trading five and eight to number three. That would make a lot of sense to me if you're Cleveland, because like Mobley, I get it. But what is Mobley going to get you any closer anytime soon? Like, is Mobley like a once in a generation talent? I think he's really good.
Okay. I think he's right there. Yeah. And so talking with some people who are more plugged into Cleveland than certainly I am, they tend to believe that it's going to take heaven and earth to make Cleveland move off of three, that they just want one of these franchise guys. They love all of them, and they're just going to take whoever the best one is.
Well, good on them. Good on him.
Let's talk about Built Bar. Built Bar is a protein bar that tastes like a candy bar, but unlike most protein bars, it actually tastes good, and it's good for you. Built Bar is great for health-conscious men and women, whether you want to maintain or lose weight while indulging in a delicious treat. Built Bars are low-calorie, low-sugar, high-protein, and high in fiber. They have plenty of delicious flavors available now. Coconut, cherry barcia, raspberry, mint brownie, double chocolate, salted caramel, strawberry, orange, cookies and cream, and German chocolate. I'm not lying when I tell you I have 5 boxes of Built Bars in my apartment right now. I have mint brownie, salted caramel, strawberry, orange, and double chocolate, and I've really been enjoying the orange. If you don't have a favorite yet, you can get a mixed box where you'll get 2 each of 9 flavors. I highly recommend that. to those of you who will be new to Built Bar. Not only is Built Bar the best tasting protein bar I've ever had, but it's healthy too. Check out these macros. 17 to 18 grams of protein, calories from 130 to 180, only 4 to 5 grams of sugar, and only 4 to 5 grams of net carbs. This is perfect for every diet. Amazing flavors, all tasty, all healthy. Go to built.com, use that promo code LOCKED15, and you'll get 15% off on your order. Use promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at built.com.
But what you're getting after here at Toronto at number four is what's interesting to me. So I think Cunningham, Green, Mobley, that's kind of the consensus top three. That's kind of mm-hmm. what we come to. Toronto is here now at number four. Mm-hmm. Jalen Suggs is on the board. You look at most mock drafts throughout this entire process, Pencil mm-hmm. and Jalen Suggs at number four. It makes sense. Kyle Lowry's mm-hmm. could be out the door. Looks like that's going to be the way it goes. Yeah, they have Fred VanVleet, but Suggs could play right next to him. They mm-hmm. love to kind of run these two-point guard systems. It seems like a Toronto Raptors kind of guy.
Makes a lot of sense.
Jalen Suggs, everybody loves him. Makes a lot of sense.
Grew up right on the border.
And yet, right, grew up. And yet, that Scotty Barnes noise won't go away.
Nope.
He is sort of that prototypical guy that Toronto always drafts.
Toronto's got a type, man.
They have a type. They need wings. I know they have Pascal Siakam, but maybe they're trying to move off of him, not because they don't like him, but just because he's a little bit older than people think mm-hmm. and doesn't exactly fit this new timeline if they are indeed resetting it.
OG Anunoby can't dribble.
Do you think they go Barnes here over Suggs at number four? Like
yes.
Like really, really, do you think they do it?
Yes.
Okay.
Firmly.
You're this sure about it? And I have been on the fence about it. So I'm just gonna let you tip me over the fence in this mock draft. And let's put Scotty Barnes in there at number four.
I talk to a lot of people up in Toronto. I love the country of Canada. I've loved every minute I've ever spent in Toronto.
They need to fix the Tim Hortons deal. Like I like Tim Hortons, but the coffee is basically water. Like
I don't drink coffee, so it's easy for me.
Okay,
but
see, that's why you like Canada. Canada.
But I do love their Timbits. Nevertheless,
second best pizza I've ever had in Toronto.
Where at?
I was drunk and I don't remember.
Okay, well, you know, you get to the bottom of that. Yeah,
it was at a brewery that had a pizza restaurant in the brewery with a pizza.
Was it on the water?
It was by a park.
Yeah. Okay. I know where it is. I don't know the name, but I can reverse. I guarantee I know what you're talking about because I'm pretty sure I've been to that
near the bar.
Yeah, I've been to that bar. I know what you're talking
all
about.
All on the same side. It was really good pizza. Yeah,
I will we'll figure that out. I will send that to you later or right now. I feel like we should just hijack the show and get to the bottom of that. Nevertheless,
pull up Google Maps. That's right, great radio.
Listen, the Barnes conversation is heavy amongst the Raptors fan base. There's no question about that. It's heavy amongst most people. The people that I talk to who have it's not somebody in the Toronto Raptors front office, but they have a great read. They have been fantastic info for me over the years. They were tremendous during the 2019 NBA Finals. Just, I had stuff 3-4 hours before anybody else was getting whispers. And that just goes, I just putting in the time up in the Great White North. The conversation around the fan base is not in any way disproportionate compared to the conversation inside the front office. And they're in a weird spot with that front office, but Scotty Barnes offers the Toronto Raptors kind of the same thing that Suggs does, but they love his upside even more in that he can handle point. He is a wing. He can defend 4 or 5 positions, whereas Suggs, you're getting 4 or 5, probably 4 positions defended. I think he's a true point guard with a wing's body. They think that Barnes's jump shot is dramatically underrated by most folks out there. And again, Toronto knows exactly what they're doing with a player like that. Whereas I'm not sure what you need to develop Jalen Suggs with. I think you just put him in games and let him get better because he's tremendous.
If this was reversed and the players got to draft the teams, mm-hmm. If it's between Toronto and Orlando, Scotty Barnes would much more prefer the Raptors than the Magic. I mean, we have seen the Magic.
He's a Florida boy.
He is a Florida boy, but I would advise him if I were his advisor to pick the Raptors over the Magic.
Because I agree with you.
Look at their Magic's history with, hey, this guy's super athletic and can defend multiple positions. All we got to do is fix that jumper. And the amount of times they've done that has been zero. The amount of times they've tried it has been about half a dozen. Whereas Toronto has basically done that every single time. Pascal Siakam, OG Anunoby. Like, just go down the line. They've even like DeMar DeRozan, by the end of his Toronto time, they were starting to fix that whole situation. Mm-hmm. And then San Antonio was just like, you do whatever you want. Mm-hmm. But okay, let's do it. Scotty Barnes,
I think
Toronto,
Barnes goes for
number four. I have no problem with that. I think, again, we get into this mock draft. Like, these mock drafts start to become groupthink very easily, right? Like, Sports Illustrated, The Ringer, The Athletic, SI, ESPN, they all start putting out their mock drafts, and they also sort of pencil in Suggs there at number four early on in the process. Not saying that wasn't based on information. I'm sure Toronto loves Jalen Suggs. Why wouldn't you? But as the process goes on, teams shift their big boards. We know this. And the mock drafts might not shift when so much attention is put on the top two, and a lot of attention is, what does Orlando do at number five? What does Oklahoma City do at number six? You just sort of forget about Toronto just sitting there at number four. Would not shock me if they shocked people Thursday night and went Scotty Barnes. And again, I can't fault them if that was the pick. And by the way, I had one person tell me, Scotty Barnes is a point guard. Just yes. If you want him to be, just slot him in. Like, Toronto.
No, they love him. They love
him. Point guard right away.
And that's
if the argument is, hey, we need a guy to replace Kyle Lowry, and that's why you go Jalen Suggs. Well, if you think Scotty Barnes is a point guard, then
that's exactly right. They're the same player, but this is how it was described to me. Barnes and Suggs are the same player. Except Suggs 1-6-8. Is a little more. Sorry.
Except 1-6-8, right?
Yeah, and the notion is that one has far more upside. And honestly, the floor isn't as low as a lot of people want to make it out to be. This isn't Patrick Williams. Scotty Barnes is not Patrick Williams, which, by the way, heed when Patrick Williams got drafted. Pay attention to that. Wing is the most important position in basketball, bar none anymore. It's not a conversation. I don't care if a center won MVP. I don't care if Steph Curry's a point guard. It is all about wings. Look at who wins titles. It's guys who can score off the dribble, rise and fire over your face, over your hand. Guys who just knock it down. Devin Booker. I mean, Chris Paul's the only point guard who can do shit like that. It's absolutely wild to me.
The other thing about Scotty Barnes, big hands.
Big hands.
What did Toronto do last time they had a guy with big hands?
I've heard something about that.
So Orlando gets Jalen Suggs at five.
Yes,
which is a home run for them.
They will run to the podium.
Everything that I was talking about the Rockets, the reason they should take Jalen Suggs, just copy paste. That's why the Magic should take Jalen Suggs. Same exact deal.
We don't even need to talk about it. It's so obvious.
So now we're sitting here at number six with Oklahoma City.
Mm-hmm.
There has been nothing said about Oklahoma City. We have heard no noise. We have no idea who it is that they like. Recent reports are indicating that they like James Bouknight, but I'm reading these reports, and those reports are based, it sounds like to me, citing other beliefs, league-wide perception, and
you ain't getting anything out of Oklahoma City.
Nothing. And this is to me, again, mock draft group think. Hey, they're going to take Bouknight. Oh, hey, maybe Kuminga falls. Maybe, like, it's just who, it's basically... The consensus has been, hey, this was a group of five, and now it's kind of a group of six or seven, depending on what you think of Bouknight. Oklahoma City just takes one of those guys that were previously falling out of the top five because Scotty Barnes has ascended into that top five. It was Kuminga for a long time. Mm-hmm. Now it's Bouknight. Bouknight seems to be the hot new name. Mm-hmm. So most mocks have them taking him. Here's my prediction, Dieter. I don't think they take Kuminga. I don't think they take Bouknight. I think they get weird here because we have no idea what they're thinking. It's all projection that they like any of those guys.
Mm-hmm.
But the more and more we've talked about this draft, the clearer it becomes is that this is a group of maybe four or five guys. And then right where Oklahoma City starts at number six, there's kind of another group of four guys. Mm-hmm. And you could bunch any of them in. And people are trying to rush Kuminga to get drafted because he used to be a guy that people thought could be go number one in this draft at one
point.
But he's sliding down boards. I don't think he has as much – like, it wouldn't shock me if you slid all the way to 10, right, with the way that your people are talking about Kuminga. So now you have this group that certainly still includes Kuminga, Bouknight. Franz Wagner is rising up boards. Josh Giddey is getting a lot of traction. You've got Keon Johnson, who you talk to people. He's everywhere between, 6 and 20 on draft boards across the league.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they could go in so many – Alperen Sengun – has gotten some buzz at the top of this
people
draft.
Really like his feel.
There are so many names here that could make sense for Oklahoma City.
Let me ask you this. If I said 51% wins the day, is Oklahoma City even drafting here? Do they stay at six? Because by the way, it's like they could get more assets for six. Someone will want to trade up because now there's sort of a new draft, as you mentioned, after Suggs. Someone will want to get to six and perhaps even Golden State. Do they stay at six or do they just accrue even more and more assets for no good reason?
I could see a team trying to move up like Indiana makes sense. Like if they're sitting there at 13 and if they love Book Knight, for example.
I haven't heard that personally, but I also haven't not heard that. Right. Like that's just right. Not a we name that's been attached to them.
They want like a perimeter guy, obviously, because they have too many big guys. Like
Moses Moody is their great white whale. That's what I've heard.
I've heard the same thing, but maybe they love Book Knight. You know, maybe they have to talk about Book Knight because they feel like they have no chance to get Book Knight. If they want to move up, I mean, what could they just like more first round picks? Does Oklahoma City even want that at this point? I mean, at some point you got to say like, do we need more? Or are you using these, if you're Oklahoma City, are you trying to move up? We've heard from Bob Myers in this press conference, it's really, really hard to move up. He's sitting there at seven. Oklahoma City is sitting there at six. It's hard for both of those teams to crack the top four or five. I think ultimately they end up picking here just because I don't really know what the other option is. Sacramento,
Sacramento
trying to move out, not move up. Golden State, I don't think they move. I don't think they're trying to move up. I don't think they love anybody enough to try to move up. San Antonio, like, would they do something weird? They're always game to do something weird.
I don't know. They're ones to value the assets that they do have. That said, there's a lot of folks that are available, right? Yeah. from San Antonio, but I don't know if it's enough to, I don't know if it's enough to get there. Let me put it to you this way. Book Knight makes a lot of sense for Oklahoma City. If Oklahoma City is actually thinking about the year 2021 and 2022, because Book Knight next to Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is a really nice 1-2 punch in the backcourt. I totally understand it. I totally get it. There's some immediacy there. Heaven forbid Oklahoma City thinks about now, but like at some point you got to think about now. The fine folks in Oklahoma didn't sign up for 10 years of rebuild. They signed up for a couple of years of rebuild. So Book Knight would provide them just an offensive minded guy. You already have Shai, takes a little bit of the load off of Shai. And then now you have your backcourt settled and you can spend all these other assets to move up to seven or eight or nine or wait until next year's draft and trade up to number one. You can go get your wing. You can go get your alpha wing. But, you know, trying to go get a Kuminga and hoping that works out, trying to, you know, go down and get Seguin to see if that works out. There's a lot of things that you can do that has a lot more variability. Book Knight has a very high floor. I don't know if he has that high of a ceiling, but he has a very high floor. He's going to give you buckets, if nothing else, as a sixth man for his entire career. He is everything that Warriors fans saw from Jordan Poole at the end of the season, this past season. Like, that's kind of the same thing. That's kind of the same thing you're getting with the James Book Knight. You're not quite sure how or particularly why, but it just happens. It just gets done with James Book Knight, and he's got sneaky athleticism. He's a really good player. Oklahoma City overthinks everything. They don't leak anything, but logically speaking, and that's about all we can do. And we're just guessing here. We haven't heard anything. James Book Knight makes all the sense in the world, which is probably why it won't happen. But I think we should put him on the board.
I agree with you. Phil's a need best player on the board. Since we know nothing, let's just give them the best player available.
Right? I think that's a great call.
What most mock drafts are doing.
Totally.
I'm just saying Thursday night, don't be shocked if it's just something weird.
John Hollinger
made the argument about Jonathan Kuminga, and I thought it was a good one, where it's like, hey, they love these raw, toolsy wings.
Totally.
Who can project really high, and if you're Oklahoma City and you can't get up into the draft where you're trying to get into this top three or four, maybe you take the guy who was once in that kind of range and fell to you, and you take Kuminga. And then the other part of that is, if you're the Thunder, you have incentive to be bad, right? Like Kuminga he's going to need time to be good, to get good. Actually helps you if you're the Thunder, because you don't want to be picking six next year. You want to be picking one next year, right? They're the team in the lottery that wants to be back in the lottery.
And I think that there's also something to be said for six. Going with six now, you have six. You have, I mean, how many else? 16, 18.
16 and 18, yeah.
I mean, what are you doing? You know, make one pick, get the hell out of there, move it towards next year, If you can get a team that's sort of in the middle ground, Indiana's that interesting name. San Antonio's an interesting name. Maybe Charlotte decides they want to move up. New Orleans tries to jump everybody. Like these teams 10 and beyond, there's going to be one that's desperate. And Oklahoma City's just sitting there. They can get themselves anywhere they want to go in this draft, pretty much. I mean, by the way, Houston, that's the first team I would call is Oklahoma City. Give me 6, 16, and 18, and here's your Jalen Green. There's far too many, exponentially, there's far too many possibilities here with Oklahoma City.
The deal that I like is Oklahoma, if they're really serious about moving Shea Gilgeous-Alexander to get Evan Mobley,
doesn't make
then just do Shea
sense.
In 6 to Cleveland with 3. That would be a home run for Cleveland. I think that would be stupid for the Thunder.
I just don't get it.
This episode is brought to you by Rock Auto. With the ever-increasing number of makes and models, it's now impossible for your local chain auto parts store to stock all of the parts you need. Why endure often pointless or seemingly intimidating questions and wait while the person behind the counter orders the parts on their computer, choosing only the brands their warehouse happens to carry? You have a computer with access to rockauto.com at home and in your pocket. Save time and money when using Rock Auto. Why choose to spend 30%, 50%, even 100% more for the same parts from a chain store or a car dealership? Rock Auto is a family business serving do-it-yourselfers for over 20 years. Rock Auto prices are reliably low for every customer. They have everything you could need: brake parts, tail lamps, motor oil, even new carpet. Go explore their easy-to-use website today to find the solution to your auto part needs. Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck, and then write "Locked On" in their "How did you hear about us" box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices. All the parts your car will ever need, rockauto.com.
All right, so that makes things interesting now. That book night is off the table.
Right.
The Warriors are now here at number 7. This will be the last pick we take here before moving into part 2. But
congratulations, Orlando. You start off anew for us.
Kuminga's on the board.
Mm-hmm.
So is Davion Mitchell, a name that they have been linked to, and a player who they like.
No question.
Franz Wagner's on the board.
Josh
Giddey is on the board. Wagner, Giddey, those are the high risers.
Those are the hot names
in this draft. Those are the names I've heard the most talking to people are Kuminga, Wagner, Giddey. If Book Knight's off the tape, Book Knight's the other name, but he's not, the Thunder took him. From what I understand, they're very split still on Kuminga. That there's a portion of that front office that says, you know what, his upside is such that we just can't pass on him.
Correct.
But I think that there's also an understanding from another part of that organization that says his upside might be this, but we can't tap into that upside. And we've had now 2 years of being out of the playoffs and 2 years of trying to figure out what exactly this team is. Let's just go take a guy who we know can play right away. And still we're relatively high in the draft, could be somebody with, and logically would be somebody with a relative amount of upside, right? Like, you're not taking Chris Duarte here at number 7 just because you know he could play.
So you're talking about Wagner.
Other names have, I think Giddey too. I mean, like, those guys have a relative amount of upside that you can tap into.
Yeah.
It's not Kuminga upside, but it's a much higher floor. And so maybe that's the way, but it's also like Moody doesn't have enough upside here where I think he's really on the board at number 7 either.
Agreed.
Or Davion Mitchell, which is the other name. So,
right.
Where do we want to go with number 7? One last point on Kuminga. Unless the Warriors are 100% certain that they can move Kuminga in a trade when they're on the clock here, they should not take him. Because this idea that he is somehow more valuable in a trade.
Remains valuable.
But exactly. I think anybody that you take here, though, granted that you don't do something crazy, would have some sort of value in a trade. If Kuminga was all that valuable, he wouldn't be sliding down draft boards right now.
Correct.
So I would say if you're the Warriors, Kuminga to me would be a stay away unless you know for sure there's a team out there, there's a deal out there, we need Kuminga to make this deal work. Unless that's the case, I think he's a stay away. I don't get that sense from the Warriors, but that's my opinion.
I am not privy to any conversation. Let's just call it what it is. I don't know what the Washington Wizards want. I can say this with certainty. There have been conversations between the Wizards and the Warriors. They have talked about what might happen should stuff go down. And ever since I heard that is the moment that Jonathan Kuminga's name started coming up a lot more around. Might it be a coincidence? Absolutely. Might it not be? Possibly. Okay, I can't tell you one way or another, but it is interesting that Jonathan Kuminga's name, one, because he's sliding, and two, perhaps for some other reason, is being brought up a lot more with the Golden State Warriors now than it was before. And again, I don't know if there's a framework set out, but it does seem, and maybe again, this is just people connecting dots. So, you know, forgive me here. This is very loose shit. But there's just something to it to where I think that makes a lot of sense. If you're the Washington Wizards and Bradley Beal, by the way, get on it, Bradley. Like, figure out what the hell it is you want, man. Like, make a call. And Bradley Beal says he wants out. He's going to have suitors. And I know Washington has already gauged to see what they can get for a Bradley Beal on the open market. Should, again, Bradley, that we're not trading him, but should Bradley Beal say we want out, what can we get? Because we would like to act quickly in such an occurrence. And the same reason that, you know, Russell Westbrook's name is being floated out there right now. The Warriors with 7-14, very attractive, obviously. Again, Bradley Beal needs to make a decision here by the time we're talking in like 26 hours before the, or 27 hours before the Warriors draft, so that 7-14 maintain their full value. But if he doesn't, and he decides to make the decision on August 1, now it's who do you have at 7-14? And Jonathan Kuminga, as you said, it's not going to be increased value. The mystery box is always the better play, but he provides the most possible upside at 7. Full stop. There's nobody at 7 that the Warriors can draft who is going to be more attractive in a trade to a full rebuilding team as the Washington Wizards would be in such a circumstance than Jonathan Kuminga.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. That's absolutely right.
I think that if nothing else, you know, the Warriors say we haven't been able to develop anybody. Well, the Warriors just fired and let go a bunch of people and brought in a bunch of new guys on the basis of player development. So they're betting on themselves a little bit in this regard, but I think that they are primed to bet on themselves in such a way. Two, it keeps the possibility of a Bradley Beal trade open and a trade for any other player whose team might decide, hey, we're getting rid of our superstar and we're going to reset. So there's something to that. If you go and get a Wagner, yeah, that would be a very good pick for the here and now. And I think he does have upside in the future, though I think we should question his athleticism and his ability to put the ball on the floor, which feels important, but, you know, nevertheless, that's a thing. It is. I just think that they can't pass on Kuminga given all of the balls that are in play.
The one thing I would say to that, and look, I agree with everything you're saying.
Okay. It ain't easy. It's not cut and dry.
It's not easy. And it's not just the Warriors and the Wizards that we're dealing with, right? Like if Toronto one that comes in over the top and say, hey, we'll give you Barnes or Suggs or who the number four pick and Pascal Siakam, that basically beats anything the Warriors could do.
Correct.
Because Toronto also owns all their future first rounders and the Warriors don't.
Mm-hmm.
Like there are a lot of teams that I can think could pretty easily beat the Warriors. Like if Philadelphia just says, you know what, this Damian Lillard thing ain't happening. Here's Ben Simmons. Go build around this guy now, Washington. Washington would definitely prefer that over Kuminga or Booknight or Wagner or whoever we want to put here.
But what if we throw in James Wiseman? Now is it in? No, I'm kidding. It's
very good. So I will go back to this.
Yeah,
I'm not. I think Kuminga is very much in play for the Warriors. I know this.
I would
err on the side of caution and say, you're here at number 7. You don't want to be picking in the lottery again. You've done this for now. You've missed the playoffs now for 2 years, not one, but 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
Play-in tournament doesn't count.
Mm-hmm.
And you have so much need for depth on the perimeter. That you could say Kuminga's a wing, but he's not going to play meaningful minutes for you right away.
No.
Where there's other guys on the board like Wagner and Giddey who certainly can. And I would just say, unless you are 99%, 100% certain that you can move Kuminga before the regular season starts and his trade value drops precipitously, because it will, he's going to look terrible. And him just playing in the G League for another year isn't going to help. He just did that and he dropped down draft boards, didn't go up them.
Good point.
I would just go with a guy who I know, you know what? We're probably losing Kelly Oubre in free agency. We're probably losing Kent Bazemore in free agency. Our wing depth is Klay Thompson and Andrew Wiggins and end of list. Let's just go get a guy we know that could play 25 minutes a night for us. And that to me is either Wagner or Giddey.
Wagner makes the most sense in this scenario. Let me ask you something. Let's be blunt about this.
Yeah.
If you trade this pick to the Washington Wizards 5 minutes ahead of time, who the hell are they picking?
Kuminga, probably.
Okay, he's so on then, the board. Then that's the pick. No matter what, there has to be some part of the Golden State Warriors that is picking for the Washington Wizards here.
Unless you're not getting Beal. Unless there's absolutely no traction on Beal, right? We don't know.
Bradley Beal can change his mind at any point, and so henceforth you have to consider the contingency there. It would be a totally different conversation if they didn't have something there at 14, but they do, so they can figure it out then. There's going to be good players available. They're probably a 25 minute a night player down there. And while the Warriors' original notion was, oh, we'll draft the win now guy at 7, and then we'll take our project at 14, I think Kuminga is such a player to where you just flip that. And you might not get the most winning now guy, but you are also never going to be able to get a talent like Kuminga at 14. You call it a wash. And by the way, I do think that this, of all of the possibilities available, because you are not in control, you are a bystander, you are second fiddle, and you are not, you have no agency in your life in this situation. If the Bradley Beal is going to hold everything hostage, like you need to maintain the possibility there, because the second they took James Wiseman last year was the possibility that all those trades that we spent weeks talking about went right out the window. Because much like a brand new car, the second you drive a center off the lot, he loses 40% of his value, because not only was the number 2 pick hard enough to sell, but shit, now you drafted a center. Look at how many teams actually want centers. I mean, like 2, and there's like 19 of them available. Kuminga is a guy that I agree with you, it's going to look rough in the initial going, all this stuff. I just think that he's a known entity. You've seen him against grown men. It didn't go great, but you've seen him against grown men. He maintains the value of number 7 better than anybody else. You're taking a haircut, but he maintains that value more than anybody else. Oh, and by the way, he provides future upside to the Warriors if nothing comes to pass, on the basis of he, at his absolute best, if it all works out, if player development is as good as the Warriors think it can be next year, in a couple of years, he has a chance to become one of those true alpha wings in the NBA, a player who you actually want to build around in the future. Sorry to James Wiseman, but he ain't one of those guys. He doesn't play the most important position in basketball. Kuminga does. I think that they'll take whoever is available, Booknight or Kuminga. In this case, it's Kuminga. And I mean, I like Wagner, but tough break.
I'm not saying you're wrong. Like I said, Kuminga is very much in play, but it's my podcast.
Okay.
And I'm going to have them take Wagner.
God bless America. Okay. Well, you know, I appreciate all how right. you keep everybody on your toes.
That is one thing about Wagner. Underrated athleticism. At 19 years old, he's actually younger than like Scotty Barnes and Jalen Suggs and some of these other guys.
Even I like Wagner a lot, man. I do.
6'9". He says he grew to 6'10", 6'11". Well, I don't know if that's true.
He's long as hell. He says.
I also say I'm an inch taller than I actually am, so whatever.
Yeah.
But
I give up inches.
He beat Scotty Barnes one-on-one when they played each other. And when I say beat, not just points, like he blew by Scotty Barnes. I think he's his underrated athleticism. You're right. The handle's not great, but his shooting stuff, like all those metrics, all those indicators, way better than Kuminga, way better than Barnes even. Not that he's, you know, on the table there for Golden State at 7, but and defensively, man, he can so easily slide onto small dudes on the perimeter. He averaged more than one block a game, I think, at Michigan, so he can protect the rim. I like, to me, he unlocks a lot of interesting lineups for the Warriors right away. And after 2 really frustrating years for Steve Kerr, you owe him. Just go get him a guy that he knows what to do with, because he didn't know what to do with Wiseman. He didn't know what to do with that entire roster 2 years ago after Curry broke his hand. Like, he was like, Alec Burks, I guess. Okay, cool. You get the ball. and so I think you just owe it to Steve. You owe it to Steph, Draymond, Clay. Just get him a guy that they could play with.
I have a hard time believing that Steph, Steph, Clay, and Draymond are going to feel like getting Franz Wagner and henceforth probably eliminating any chance of getting Bradley Beal in the future is going to be seen as a win. Like, they're going to be really thankful.
Like
there.
I said, you take Kuminga if you think you can move for Beal, but if you have no idea what's happening with that situation.
Let me ask you this full stop.
One thing.
Do you think Bradley Beal will become available?
I have no idea. I
just think you have to maintain the contingency.
I think Beal has every reason to ask out. I think he ought to be available, but I have no idea. Every time
I agree with you,
this has happened every year for the last 2 years, and each time he's like, you know what, I'm going to stay.
Yeah, he likes
drama. They did just fire their coach again. And they did just give him Russell Westbrook this time, and like 2 years ago, he was not playing with John Wall because he was hurt. They got him Russell Westbrook, and they were kind of just a glorified play-in team, even though they finished the year strong, and that was impressive. Yeah. He's looking around. He's looking up at Milwaukee and Brooklyn, Philadelphia, and then he's looking around that locker room. And he's like, Denny Avdija. All right, cool. That's kind of what he's doing. I think he has every reason to want out. I haven't seen it yet. And this will conclude part one, and this will also conclude all of the lobbying I will ever do for a German guy for the rest of my life.
Oh, thanks a lot, man. Really appreciate that.
The entire time. I didn't realize. I lobbied for you at the beginning of the show, calling you esteemed and a colleague. And I lobbied for Wagner here at the end. All right.
It's all coming up Munich.
Tomorrow, picks 8 through 14, the Warriors make another selection. That'll do it for today. Remember to subscribe. New episodes of Locked On Warriors on YouTube or wherever it is that you listen to podcasts. Comment, leave a 5-star rating. Read my work over at the San Jose Mercury News. Read Dieter's columns at the same site. Reach me on Twitter at WC Goldberg. Email is wgoldberg@bayareanewsgroup.com. Enjoy your day. Thanks for listening. See you here tomorrow for picks 8 through 14.